our dear brother. And because I stuck to those truths, I also had to pay a price later on. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 16. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 16. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. Lord, we thank you for your precious word, and we pray, Lord, thou would speak to us. Break thou the bread of life to us and satisfy us. Speak to us according to our needs. We seek and need the help of your Holy Spirit. Do sanctify us and bless us this morning. In Jesus, our Lord's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Here we see David lying down upon the floor, fasting and pleading before the Lord for the child. Most of us know the background of the story of this incident. David had taken his his faithful friend Uriah the Hittite's wife as his own. Now he had very subtly got Uriah murdered in the battlefield. And being the head of the state of Israel, so to say, there was nobody to challenge him. And David thought maybe as time would pass by, the sin would get covered. But somehow sin doesn't get covered. Sin is like a worm, which he doesn't even get destroyed in the lake of fire. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse away sin. And also it says in the book of Numbers, your sin shall find you out. So though David was so close to the Lord, but a time came when his own flesh overcame him, and he thought that time will wipe away the memories of what has happened. At least for 9 months, David hid the sin. But then when Bathsheba gave birth to the child, we know the child became very sick. Just before the child was born, Nathan the prophet gathered courage and went and approached David. Nathan's head could have been cut off. Who could go and challenge the king? But then Nathan was a man of God. The Lord gave him the word and he went and challenged the king of Israel. There are so few less Nathans these days. There are more people pleasers than pleasers of the Lord. Paul says, if I please man, I am not the servant of Christ. We need to speak the truth with love. So when Nathan confronted David and said, thou art the man, then the arrow of conviction pierced the heart of David. And David is broken at that time. And he says, I have sinned against the Lord. And it was such a true confession. Immediately Nathan said, the Lord has put away your sin. You gave an opportunity to your enemies to speak. There are so many confessions in the Bible, but very few of them are true. In a gospel meeting, there are many who confess at the end of the meeting, but then there are few we find later on who are walking with the Lord. When Samuel confronted Saul, Saul said, I have sinned, but then come with me and honor me before the elders, he said. When Achan was given an opportunity to repent, he thought, you know, if I keep on hiding, maybe, you know, nobody will know. But then when he was finally caught by Joshua, he said, I have sinned. But we see he was finally stoned. The angel came in the way of Balaam. And then Balaam says, I have sinned. But he still goes on in his covetous ways. Judas Iscariot, he also went to the temple, threw the money, said, I have sinned against innocent blood.
Yeah.
They said, you know, what are we to do? You know, mind your own business. We have nothing to do with you now. And he went, goes and hangs himself. Yeah. Here we see David, when he says, I have sinned, Nathan says, the Lord has put away your sin. The child which is born to you is going to die. And we see David lying down upon the floor and pleading before the Lord and fasting and beseeching that the Lord would save the child. We see him deep repentance. We see him in true repentance. David lost many things because of this sin. You know, our brother was worshipping, Brother Jadav was worshipping. The father said two times, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. But I was reminded of the thing which the Holy Spirit wrote about David. Whenever I read or remember these words, I find them very solemn. Chapter 11, verse 27. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 27, last verse. It says, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Prabhu nirashwa, narazwa. Yeah, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. David lost the smile of God. Yeah. David lost his testimony. David lost the peace of his heart. David lost the stability of his throne. He lost God's smile. He lost his testimony. he lost his peace.
अपने शांति को खो बैठता है.
And for a moment, for some time, he lost his throne as well.
और कुछ समय के लिए अपने उस सिंहासन को खो बैठता है.
And later on, we see he wrote Psalm 51 as a token or as a symbol of his true repentance. Let's read Psalm 51 verses 6 and 7. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
देख तो हृदय की सच्चाई से प्रसन्न होता है, और मेरे मन ही में ज्ञान सिखाएगा. जूफा से मुझे शुद्ध कर, तो मैं पवित्र हो जाऊंगा. मुझे धो, और मैं हिम से भी अधिक श्वेत बनूंगा.
And verse 10.
So
create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Yeah, what Nathan spoke that day, that had a very long-lasting effect upon David's life. David kept on mourning for his sin for a long time. You know, to establish a holy life and a holy walk in the Lord, when we have a good testimony in front of the Lord and in front of people, it takes a long time. But to lose it, doesn't take any time. You can lose it very fast. And then to recover again, it takes time. Of course, God forgives immediately, but then it takes time. In the Old Testament, whenever anybody would become unclean by coming in contact with the dead body, you know, he has to wash himself, but he becomes clean only on the third day. It shows that it takes time again to get restored. Yeah, God forgives immediately, there is no doubt about it. A true repentant heart, God will forgive immediately. But again, it takes time to start walking with the Lord again. When Abraham got Ishmael into this world, we see 13 years God not speaking to him. From age 86 to 99, we don't see God speaking to Abraham. Then we see in chapter 17, verse 1, the Lord speaking to Abraham. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Abraham, start walking before me again and be thou perfect. And here David is also pleading before the Lord. He had been severely chastised by the Lord. And we see as David spoke from his own mouth, he lost fourfold. He lost four of his sons in the time to come. This child of Bathsheba dies. Amnon dies. Absalom dies. Finally, Adonijah dies at the hand of Solomon. So David had to pay a heavy price. The closer one is to the Lord, the severe is the chastisement. What did Moses do? He just spoke harshly and he took a rod and beat a rock. Even the rock didn't feel the pain. But what did the Lord do? Lord said, Moses, you will not go to that land. I think we have spoken so many times, I would have spoken so many times, unadvisedly with my lips. You know, and Moses spoke once harshly, Lord said, you will not go. The more light you have received from the Lord, the more answerable you and I are to the Lord. Yeah, I have seen a particular video on DNA study about, you know, experiments done on mice about DNA and how it applies to humans. Yeah, I mean, all of you might not agree what I'm saying. But then I have certain scripture on which I can base it upon. There are two sins in the Bible for which there is no forgiveness. Rather, I should say there is no sacrifice which could be brought. One was adultery. You know, they had to be stoned to death. Second was murder. Yeah, so murder also was such a serious crime that even if the person who had done accidentally wouldn't reach the city of refuge, he can be killed lawfully by a family member. So these were two sins for which there was no sacrifice to be brought in the Old Testament. There was a group of biologists. So they made a study upon the DNA of two groups of people. Yeah, one group was a known group of adulterers. And there was another group which were known murderers. So they took the samples of DNA from both these groups and they studied the DNA. And the DNA of the adulterers, it had a certain mark on a DNA at a certain spot. And they found the same spot for every such adulterer. Then they studied the DNA of the murderers. They found a spot at a different place, but the same spot for every murderer. But this was not there in the normal people. So there was a suggestion by a brother, let's preach the gospel to these two people, two groups of people. Maybe some of them would believe in the gospel, repent for their sin, and believe in Jesus. Now let's check their DNA. His great gut feeling is the spots would disappear. You know why? Because any man who is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. That's why David wanted an internal cleansing. He was saying, Lord, purge me with hyssop. Create in me a clean heart. He just wanted to be cleansed from inside. He says, my bones, my loins had no rest night and day. You know, and David went through this severe chastisement. Now, I said I would like to base this upon a scripture, Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 26 to 29. For by mean of an unchaste woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burnt? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burnt? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Yeah, it's spoken as if such a sin is bringing marks on the body. It's speaking about life coals on the chest and under the feet. Certainly it will cause burn marks. And what does Paul say? Listen very carefully. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is outside the body. But he that commit fornication sinneth against his own body. You know, why is a person being born again brings more glory to God than a normal child being born in the world? Because a child born in this world is born with the nature of sin. I would say corrupt DNA. But when a person repents and believes in the Lord Jesus, the blood of Jesus cleanses him from every sin. And I think that's the situation when David says, make me whiter than snow. You know, I'm surprised. David lies down on the floor for 7 days. He doesn't eat or drink anything. He's just on the floor for 7 days. You know, people in India, they do all these dharnas. And they will drink fruit juice. I would say if you want to see a real dharna, you look at David. He did dharna in front of the Lord. Perhaps, Lord, you save my child. You know, but of course, the Lord did not save the child. The Lord took away the child from David. He was a man after God's own heart. He accepted God's chastisement gracefully in his life. You know, when he came to know the child was dead, he gets up, he washes himself, he anoints himself, and he changes his apparel, and he goes to the Lord's house and worships the Lord. And then he eats his food. You know, he doesn't murmur. He doesn't say, Lord, see what 7 days I was at your feet. He doesn't complain even one bit in front of the Lord. Very graciously or gracefully, he accepts the Lord's chastisement. You know, even in the earlier case when David does the counting of his people, of the men of war in his nation, and the Lord pronounces 3 punishments upon him, and the prophet Gad tells David, you choose one of the 3. And David tells him, let me fall in the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but let me not fall in the hand of man. You know, when the Lord allows chastising in our life, it first of all, it tells us that he loves us. Because we are his children, he loves us. But there are multiple advantages when God gives chastisement to us. There are certainly benefits for our spiritual life when God chastises us. Hebrews chapter 12, we see at least 3 reasons or 3 benefits we get when the Lord chastises us. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them who are exercised by it. It yields peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised by it. We have to take God's chastisement in a very balanced way. It has to be balanced. Say santulan se. It says, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. That means don't take it lightly, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. There are two ends of it. One is despising the Lord's chastening, just not caring about it. Second is thinking, the whole sky has fallen on my head, what will I do now? Don't be that also. Now there is, what will I do now? I've lost everything. That's also wrong. Rather, we have to be exercised by it. Now, we see the first advantage. It says, those who are chastised, afterwards, they yield peaceable fruit of righteousness. I try to understand this like this. Righteousness is to do that which is right. Yeah, when we are chastised, then we realize I don't need to do those things for which I have been chastised. Whenever I would come to that situation, the Holy Spirit will remind me. And I am exercised to do that which is right. Then verse 12. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Your prayer life, my prayer life, is strengthened when we are chastised. Whenever I feel the Lord is chastising me, my heart trembles. And I come to prayer more quickly and more fervently. It speaks of a personal time with the Lord. It speaks about coming in the Lord's presence on your knees if you can. Pleading before the Lord. And the third point is verse 10. We become partakers of His holiness.
और हम पवित्र बन जाते हैं.
We learn to do that which is right. And we become prayer warriors. This is what we learn from this episode of David's life. We see him lying down before the Lord. We see him repenting before the Lord. You many times I think of repentance as a small narrow gate. Small narrow gate where you can't just walk in. Rather, I have to bend low, maybe crawl through it, and then I stand up and I see the wonderful grace of God. I see the great salvation I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it starts with the lying down. Let's see one more verse, 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me thus far? In 22nd verse, Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. We saw in chapter 12, David lying before the Lord. Here you find David sitting before the Lord. He is not doing any Bible study or praying as such. He is just sitting in the Lord's presence. He is just having fellowship with the Lord. He is just talking to the Lord. And he is thinking upon his own littleness, though he is the king. He was the king of a state, of an entire nation. God had given him great victory. He vindicated him above Saul in front of all the people. But we see he still thinks about his littleness or his nothingness. He says, Lord, who am I? What is my house that you have given me such a pedestal? And then he thinks about the greatness of the Lord. Verse 22, Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God. There is none like thee. Neither is there any God beside thee. We are very busy people. You know, and we do not get such moments so often to just sit like this in the Lord's presence. Whenever we come in the Lord's presence, either we'll start getting a list of prayer items and we start praying on that list. Or if you are a minister, you start preparing in your mind what message you have to share. But we see here, this is just fellowshipping with the Lord. You know, like the Psalm 23, David sings, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yeah, enjoying the rich pastures of His presence. Enjoying that still water experience with the Lord. We know Mary of Bethany, brother mentioned. We find her sitting at the Lord's feet to hear His word. We know Martha was very much exercised to do something. But the Lord pointed out saying, Mary chose the good part. And that doesn't mean Marthas are to be ridiculed. Yeah, mm-hmm. We need to have the hand of Martha and the heart of Mary. We see her sitting at the Lord's feet, hearing His word. At the grave of Lazarus, we see Mary coming and falling at the Lord's feet and praying to Him. And in John chapter 12, we see Mary at the Lord's feet, worshipping Him. She pours the ointment on the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she wipes His feet with her hair. Oh, that we might get more time sitting in the Lord's presence. You know, especially those times when everything is silent. When the traffic of Bombay is silent. When the vessels of your house are not clanging from the kitchen. At that time, you may be found in the Lord's presence. And then thirdly and lastly, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Then David, the king, stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people, as for me, I had in my heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. And here we see David standing upon his feet. We see him standing as a true-hearted servant of the Lord. In Acts 13, the Holy Spirit records this specifically. And Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand and said, Men of Israel, ye that fear God, give audience. Every priest ministering standeth daily, Hebrews 10 says. Standing is a symbol of doing something, working. You know, when a person is sitting down, you say, why are you sitting down? Get up and work. And here you see David as a man who was working for the Lord. Though he was old now, but we see him having so much energy to do something for the Lord. Let's read chapter 29, verse 2. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Things of gold, things of silver, things of bronze, things of iron, wood, onyx stones, and many other things. But what does he say? What is the emphasis on? Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. And I think that's how we need to love the Lord. With all my heart, with all my strength, with all my understanding. I did an approximate calculation. So all the amount which was gathered for the building of the temple, many people have given figures, but in our rupee situation, it was just more than 14 lakh crore of rupees. Yeah, we are familiar of hearing these numbers these days. 14 lakh crore rupees amount of material went into the temple. So who is the biggest thief of the world? Nebuchadnezzar. Because he stole all the precious things from the temple. But if you see, when that people brought willingly for the Lord's temple. David gave willingly, he offered willingly. And the people saw him and followed his example. And see the verse 3, chapter 29, verse 3. Because I have set my affection upon the house of my God. Because I have set my affection upon the house of my God. You know, Paul says, daily the care of the churches comes upon me. His heart was with the people of God. His heart was in the churches of God. And that's what we see reflected from David here, standing and proclaiming these things before the people of the Lord. You know, of course, David has his fallings in his lifetime. You know, I mean, not both, but yeah, he had his falling in his lifetime. Today, when we remember David, I think most of the believers, I would say all believers, hold him in respect and awe. You know, that's the work of Calvary. God saw his repentance. God forgave his sin. The Holy Spirit also convinces our mind. You know, how many of us would like to be like David? You know, how much we would like to be, how he explains his closeness with the Lord in the Psalm. You know, when we see David towards the end of his life, even at that time, he's preparing and collecting for the Lord's house. Because the Lord told him, you will not build my house. It tells us how to be available for the Lord even till the end of our life. I'm reminded of the Hebrew servant who, after 7 years of service in a Hebrew master's house, he says, now I want to be the servant of this house forever. And so the master takes him to the elders or outside. And he pierces his ear in front of them. He confesses, the servant confesses. That's in Exodus 21 we read. I love my master, my wife and my children. I will not go out free. Comes a slave forever to this house. You know, whenever he would go to the market to do things for his master, people would recognize him by the, you know, piercing of his ear. And then they would say, oh, what a wonderful master he has. That he became a servant forever. And so also our master is worthy. You know, that all our life we would be faithful to him. You know, the Bible says the days of our years are 80 years. By reason of strength they are 80 years. So that means we need to give 80 years for the Lord. What does it mean 80 years? Because it says that's our lifetime. So when you want to give life, your life to the Lord, you need to give your years to the Lord. You know, these years as well as those years. You know, and what are 80 years? 960 months, 28,800 days, 6,91,200 hours, 4,14,72,000 minutes. Yeah, and then seconds is very difficult to say. So if you want to give your life to the Lord, you have to give your minutes and hours to the Lord. You need to give your time to the Lord. You know, and the Lord will help us. You see David lying down at the Lord's feet, we repenting before him. We see him sitting at the Lord in the Lord's presence, communing with the Lord. And even towards the end, we see him standing for the Lord as a true-hearted servant of the Lord. May the Lord help us, and his name be glorified.